What is good, everyone, and welcome back to the Nostalgia Plus Ultra podcast. My name is Taylor, aka Nostalgia. Joining me is As Told by Zoe. What's good, my guy?
What's up, brother?
Also joining me is K Likes Everything, or K Likes Peppers. How you doing today?
I'm so tired. But this is going to revive me, so that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you had to collect the third brain cell so before you got in here.
Yeah, I was on a mission. Yeah, I was on a mission to find the third one.
Okay, so today is an interesting day. We got a wide range of topics. We're catching up a little bit. This one's probably going out, I can't calendar well. 22nd, I think.
Time is an illusion.
Yeah, but you know, we recorded one. This is like back-to-back days recording, trying to double up, make sure we stay consistent with content. That way, you know, if one of us or all three of us aren't going to be able to do something, we have a plan. So these topics might be a little bit thrown by the wayside by the time this episode comes out, but hey, you know, we're talking about it now because it's current events, you know. I want to start because me and Zoe talked about Don Da Don last episode or two episodes ago, and now Kayla has officially watched both episodes that are out at the time of this recording.
Yeah,
she'll probably watch the third one when it comes out this week. Kayla, how do you like Don Da Don?
Oh, it's so good. It is so beautiful. The animation is so fun. Momo is everything.
Yeah, I love her.
Great female lead. Strong, funny. I did not expect for what to have happened to happen. So that was a fun like little twist that we got. Absolutely obsessed that oh my god, I forgot the main boy's name, but
Ken Takakura.
Yeah, Ken Takakura, that he is voiced by the same voice actor who did Tanjiro from Demon Slayer, which is one of my favorite anime in the whole wide world. Have it tattooed on my arm for those who are watching. So it's very important to me. So hearing him again just like revived my spirit, and I'm like, he's a nerdy little boy and he's so sweet. Which obviously that voice actor does very well. Hated with the deepest pits of my soul the alien scene.
Yeah, I mean, everyone does.
Every normal person does. But like, I was curled up into a corner in my couch, just going like, just like waiting for it to be over. I watched it with my friend Drew, and I just kept like looking at him going like, what? And but we got past it. And the scene that I love, that's very Sailor Moon-esque, in my opinion, happened in that time. I don't want to like reveal anything, but when you watch it, dear viewer, you will notice there's like a Sailor Moon type thing that happens in that scene. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I think I remember talking about.
Yes. And it's definitely going to be a favorite of the season for sure.
Yeah.
And I hate that it's not all out because I need to binge it, but I have to sit and wait.
The next episode comes out Thursday, and we're going to be in Orlando.
Yee.
Oh, for Horror Nights. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I will not be doing Horror Nights.
You will not be doing Horror Nights. You were doing something else.
Week.
I'll do it next year.
Yeah.
Hey, I said the same thing, Kayla. He's heard it all before. He doesn't care anymore.
The thing is that like I do want to. It's just that this year it lands on my mother's birthday.
She doesn't want
to also,
do it.
And also I'm afraid.
She just doesn't want to do it.
No, I can. Okay. You know what? We're not starting this episode in a fight.
Oh my
long
goodness.
Day.
But yeah, regarding that scene, I thought it was really cool. They just like upped the production budget crazy for that one like 10-second scene where she's like floating in the air.
Yes. And her hair gets long.
Yeah, and her hair gets long, and like she's staring at it. Like turns into like that Sailor Moon. Like I felt like they changed animation styles for that scene. Like she's like staring at the little panel and she's like levitating and she's like looking at it really bright eyed.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a cool addition. And then episode 2 comes in,
yeah,
and you get like the first of like the main running gags of Dandadan, which is the synchronized running away.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, they're always going to show you key points in Momo and Okarun's relationship where, like, obviously they're going to be a couple by the end of the story's over. Like, it's just kind of,
if they don't, I'm going to riot.
Clear as, it's kind of clear. Who knows? Like, obviously you're going to have some relationship trial and tribulations, like other people, other characters coming into the mix. It you know how that goes. Yes.
Is anyone as excited as me to meet the grandma?
I mean,
want to meet her. I'm so excited. I want to meet her so bad.
Do you know what she looks like?
No, I don't. That's why I'm excited.
Well...
Oh, wait, no. What do you mean? What do you mean?
I am also very excited.
Get it, Grandma.
I will say this.
It's like that.
You'll see.
Dare I Google her? Do I Google her?
No, be surprised. Be surprised.
No.
We'll watch the episode on Saturday, because Saturday is kind of like the chill day, or maybe Friday before the park. And you'll see. You'll see. I also told our friend Emily to start watching it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know that meme of, it's like, whenever a bad bitch tells me to do something? That's me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Love that. I love when they make the grandma characters hot. There's just something empowering about that, you know? Like,
make
everybody tremble.
But it's also, this one's special.
Yeah, very special.
I don't want anything to be revealed to me. Exactly. Every time I'm like, in what way?
She's just, her vibe, her aura. I hate using that word, but it's just an aura thing, to be honest.
You're just like one of the kids, Taylor. Talking about aura.
I work with high schoolers and elementary schoolers. So it's like, I hear the word aura all the time. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's like that for real.
I'm excited. The next episode, I will talk about how much I love the grandma. So
yeah, but what I'll say is I really love the relationship dynamic that they have, and how it's starting to, like, come into its own and develop in the early stages, because it's still like that nerd and Gyaru, like, spunky girl, like, dynamic where they butt heads a lot. It's so, one of my favorite parts of episode 2 was when she was just like, you know, you can, like, talk to me, right? You don't have to, like, look away and be weird. And he turns and goes, bitch. She's like, what did you call me?
Yes, I love that. But also, now that you mentioned the Gyaru style, I love the designs of her friends. Oh my god, I love her friend that has, like, the full-on, it's a very specific type of, like, makeup look. I was living. I was like, that's such a fun addition to this story.
Right.
But yes, I like how their relationship, whatever it becomes, is starting off, like, so silly goofy.
Yeah, I did mention that to Zoe. I mentioned to Zoe about the designs of the other of her friends. And I can't remember the friend's name, but the one you're talking about is very reminiscent of
Muko.
A very early 2000s Gyaru culture style that came around that time, where I sent it to Zoe. I was like, I don't know how I feel about her design, because while I am fully aware that it's not blackface, I was like, that, what the hell is this?
Very deep tan.
It's a very, very, very deep tan. And the shapes that they do around their eyes and their nose are very, like, specific to the style. But yeah, that is true. If you're, like, looking at it, you're like, what are you?
This is the doing? Same. It's the same kind of, I mean, I think the conversation was way louder and worse when My Dress Up Darling, when she had the fake tan episode.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, personally, at least for that one, she said it was a fake tan. I don't think it's that bad. I don't know.
Nah, it's usually not seen it. More often than not, when it comes to conversations like that, it's usually a non-minority stepping into the fray to cover a black person. Like, behind me, I'll protect you. It's like, I know exactly what the context is, bro. I'm good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of, though, so I've always really liked...
Sorry.
This is a good segue. Taylor. You'll see.
Yeah.
I've always really liked Okarun's design, especially his hair. And there's always been this like meme where it's like Okoroon is at least some percentage black because he's always had a fade.
In the manga, yeah.
And especially in the second episode when he gets fried, he like has an afro for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
For English viewers, I know Kayla despises dubs, but for dub viewers, his voice actor is black.
He's black. I told you, yeah.
Really? Yeah. And okay, he's that's cute.
He's amazing. The dub really is fantastic.
It's not that I don't like dub. It's that I just prefer to hear the show in its original language so that I can read all the subtitles, because sometimes there are just things that, like, don't cross over or don't mix. And I like the only ones that I really ever watch in English are like my very first anime that I watched in English to begin with, because I couldn't read the subtitles fast enough. I'm not looking to watch them in English unless someone tells me that I like absolutely have to, like the Studio Ghibli movie, the Boy and the Heron. Mm-hmm. I, even though I haven't seen it yet, which is a crime, I will watch it in English first and then I'll watch it again in Japanese just because I have to hear Robert Pattinson be.
Oh, insane. Yeah, as the bird. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
exactly.
I saw it this year. He's insane.
I can't wait.
Not only does he talk like this, he has one specific line where he's like, oh, I'm fabulous. He's insane.
After what he went through in Twilight, he deserves to be.
He's awesome. I mean, awesome.
Honestly, for sure. one thing that I want to mention about the whole aesthetic or main, like, central, I guess, antagonist base of Danadon is spirits and ghosts and aliens and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode, because what begins to happen with Danadon is it's technically like a monster of the week format.
Mm-hmm.
Where they, something's going on and they have to defeat a monster or steal away a monster, or something shows up in the middle of them doing something else and they have to like seal it away or defeat it or figure out how to dispel a curse or something like that. It's that's more than a good chunk of the early episodes, right? Or early chapters for the manga.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them follow specific folklore. And I think it's so cool that this past one was one that I looked up, and it was, what was it called? The Flatwoods Monster.
Yeah, that's...
And it resembles a Japanese sumo wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
But the original design of it, is Japanese, but the first sighting of the Flatwoods Monster was in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in American folklore.
That's what he says in the episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's like so cool how they're bringing in stuff like that where like it's actual real monsters. I mean, obviously a mangaka or anime artist designing a new original monster. Spirit.
Yeah.
Is a cool thing in itself, because sometimes it leads itself to having really cool designs and awesome moments.
Mm-hmm.
With how a character is designed. Like, randomly speaking, like we talked about Metaphor Refantasio.
Mm-hmm.
Last episode, and I like the designs of the monsters, and although some of them, and they're original designs of monsters, although some of them are taken from maybe some biblical aspects or just other things that are kind of like mashed together, other influences, but those are technically original monster designs.
Mm-hmm.
I like bringing in actual folklore that people like. They don't do it, but I don't even know. Like, if they introduced Bigfoot into Danadan, it would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I love a reflavoring of like a cryptid. Number one, I love cryptids in general, but
too much.
Like, well, yes. but I mean it in the way that like I like hearing like the monster that they're using and then seeing how they've flavored it to like fit into the show. Like, I was I just saw a Coraline again for the bajillionth time yesterday with some friends for Halloween, and they were like, oh, what kind of like creature is she? And I'm like, oh, that's a beldam. And they were like, what the heck is that? And I'm like, a beldam, they mentioned it in the movie, but it's also a mythical creature that you can actually fight in D&D. And they flavored this version of a beldam to resemble like a spider. She's very spider-like in her other mother form. But other people have beldams look like dementors or just like sunken bones. And it just depends on like how you want to fit it into the story. And I just find that to be so fun. And, you know, Andre is a DM. So he takes monsters all the time and switches them up. But you can tell like, oh, that has like, I can tell that from like this cryptid, or I can see like your inspiration of this creature, which I always befriend or want to kiss. So there's, that's not my fault.
Oh my God.
The last few monsters that we've been fighting, I've made it so that they can't like speak or something.
Oh, God.
Like I can't give her any more leeway.
And she has
a zoo of little, like, oh my God, she had a little Pegasus robot.
Yeah.
I was like, why is it still here? I expected this to be gone months ago.
It went back.
That's crazy.
It did.
And the thing is, my character, no animal handling skills. It's just like, it's the heart of the cards that when I roll because I want it, I get it.
That's crazy.
It's so fun.
We currently have... I know this is a little tangent, but
yeah,
her robot has a talking painting strapped to its back.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, we should take him. And I've been trying to make him super annoying.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought he was going to help. I thought he was going to help.
He's a painting. He hasn't seen anything.
Oh, my gosh.
He calls her mother.
He does call me mother at this point.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Refocus.
Do you want to introduce this topic though now or on the back end?
Because the Game Freak?
Because speaking of capturing monsters.
Exactly. I think it's a good segue.
Have you guys read the leak?
No, I only I guess someone read it to me on TikTok.
I read a little bit of the leak.
But read it again.
So I have this tweet. It's four slides. Am I going to be reading this like a story?
Please. Use voices.
I don't think this is a fun story, though.
Oh, no.
It's the Typhlosion story. Typhlosion? Is that how you say his name?
I thought it was just Typhlosion.
Typhlosion. Yeah. Him. Got it.
Okay.
So, this is... I'm expecting that this is from the leak.
Okay.
It starts off theme, relationship between humans and Pokemon / human-like way of thinking. That's like the title, I guess. Mm. Once upon a time, there was a village. One day, a girl from the village went to the mountains to collect firewood. The girl found some dry dead trees deep in the mountains, so she went deeper and deeper. When she woke up, the sun was setting and the girl had lost her way. There was takufu droppings all over the place, which made the girl feel uneasy. Then a man was seen washing up on the other side of the forest. The man's face was unlike any other man in the village, but he was very handsome. The man said, "You must be lost. I know the way down the mountain, but it will be midnight if you follow my footsteps. I'll bring you back tomorrow morning, so why don't you stay and rest at my place tonight?" The girl had no choice but to do as the man said. The man took the girl's hand and started walking. As the sun was setting, we come to a large cave. "This is my house. You must be hungry. Wait for me." Saying this, the man went out of the cave. A short time after the man left, a red light appeared in the distance on the mountain, and the sound of trees swaying could be heard. Soon, the man returned with a large load of red nuts. "After I eat this, I'm going to sleep. Even if you wake up before me, don't look at me." When the girl woke up the next morning, the man was still sleeping. The girl kept her promise, and the man continued. The girl kept her promise to the man and continued to wait, but eventually fell asleep again. That's the first page. This is going to be kind of long.
Oh, God. I mean, it's setting the stage. I'm getting a little uneasy, but we're gonna power through.
I'm not uneasy. I already know where this is going.
The girl was woken up by the man's voice. When she looked outside, the sun was already setting. Let's eat some green fruit today. Wait for me. And with that, he went out of the cave. A short time after the man left, a red light appeared in the distance on the mountain, and the sound of trees swaying could be heard. When the sun had completely set, the man returned home bearing a large load of green nuts. The man said, after I eat this, I'm going to sleep. Even if you wake up before me, don't look at me. The girl said that she wanted to go home quickly because her family was worried. The man yawned and smacked the girl in the head. The girl then completely forgot about her family and her home. Then they both ate green fruit and fell asleep. The next day, the two of them woke up as the sun was setting. The man went to gather nuts, and the two of them ate them, went back to sleep. As life continued like this, the girl eventually realized that the man was Bakufun, which I think is the Japanese name for Typhlosion. I think.
No idea.
It's
yes, correct.
Bakufun. That is the Japanese name for Typhlosion.
Yeah, that's what it looks like here.
As winter approached, Bakufun dug deep into the cave and said to the girl, go and gather some firewood. Break off the top branches of the tallest tree you can find. As the girl tried to do as Bakufun said, but she was afraid of tall trees, so she could only climb low ones. After collecting some branches and returning home, Bakufun said, no, we have to be on a higher branch or else the humans will see us. As the snow began to fall, the two of them slept in the depths of the deepening hole. There was plenty of food. I woke up every now and then to eat and then to sleep again. One day, the girl woke up to find a child in her arms. After several days and nights had passed, the girl woke up and Bakufun said, your father is looking for you, but you are my wife and I can't give you back. I have to fight him. There's more.
What?
We're halfway done.
What? We're not even fully done?
Nope. The girl said, please stop. Please don't kill my father. How can I live with you after killing my family? You're a good person, so let's stay here and sleep. He says, okay, I'll sleep here. The man nodded. The next night, Bakufun woke the girl up and said, your father is nearby. Go look outside. When the girl went outside, a snowstorm was blowing around her. She climbed a low tree and broke its branch. When they returned to the cave, Bakufun was singing a song they had never heard before. You have broken the branch. Your father will be here soon. And now I'm going to do something bad to your father. If you kill me, you can have my eyes, my voice, and my heart. Then I want you to build a fire where I was killed and let it burn. I want you to sing this song until it burns out. The girl said, please stop. You're gonna kill my father. Please stop. Let yourself be killed. Goodbye. We will never meet again. With that, Bakufun went outside. After a while, a loud noise was heard and the girl peeked outside. It is then revealed that the girl's father had killed Bakufun. The girl ran outside and told her father. Your father killed your son. I have lived with him until now. He is my husband. Well, weird translation error. Please give me your husband's eyes, heart, and voice. The girl built a fire at that place where he died, and bawled from her eyes, her heart, and voice. And while it was burning out, she sang the song she learned from Bakufun.
What? Okay. All right.
I don't know, Taylor, if you want to share your thoughts first, because obviously I feel like you guys are going to fight me on mine.
Okay. What the fuck is the deal with Game Freak? What are we doing?
So this is my story that they wanted to put in a game, but Nintendo said.
But what is the purpose of that in the first place?
They're not called Game Normal.
Fair enough, but like, what are we talking about right now? Like,
I also don't like the implication.
I don't like that at all.
Okay.
Like, okay, go ahead, Kayla. What the?
Okay, so this tale is very. It sounds very classically like a god on a mountain
mm-hmm.
who is half human, half something else, or can shapeshift or whatever. Probably has like a specific power, right? Takes on a bride, keeps her there. They fall in love, a little Stockholm syndrome, but you know, they fall in love, have a kid, and through that, like, end up that last sacrifice, a creature or lore or whatever is born. So as crazy as this might sound to like other people who don't like read those types of stories, this is actually very normal, where it's like, there's always like for example, there's this manga that I have a box set of right back there called Blackbird. And it's about a Tengu who wasn't very strong. So he like lived down here amongst mortals. And then when it was his time to like leave, he ended up going back up the mountain where all the Tengus live. But in that time, he found a girl who was like, I'm going to come back and marry you. And because of the lore of like how Tengus pick brides, it's like, you don't really have a choice. And what we're going to make is something different and new and whatever. And this just sounds a lot like that. It sounds very much like that this creature, which is a Typhlosion in this case, but had a face of a human man, at least close enough, like it's anthropomorphic enough to make her believe that it was man adjacent. You know, it's kind of like a god, and maybe that's where like Typhlosions ended up being made, or he was the god of them.
Or Cyndaquil.
So, yeah, like a little baby Cyndaquil. So like, it's not crazy. Like, I thought it was gonna be like a lot freakier, because I'm like, oh, if this is just it, then like it's fine. But I can understand other people freaking out about it, being like, wait a minute, are you saying that we're gonna have sex with Pokemon? Which, mind you, people, they're the ones that make some of these things look like straight up human men. Like, thanks. Whatever, Litten. Like Litten, little baby cute kitten cat animal, turns into a full-on pro wrestler. Why? Why does he have to look like that?
And he's
Why
fire.
Do you like a person?
He's fire.
You're dumb. You're not dumb. I take that back. I don't like the Pokemon that look too human, because it like freaks me out. Because they are very animal in my mind. But this one seemed very human.
Them being animals, what makes it, because it's not like this was a story of oh my god, Deoxys or the god of Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
It mm-hmm. is a Typhlosion, and the way
this one had like human speech, and obviously like it was sentient in a way. It's because if it was just saying Typhlosion to her, like just like talking like an actual Pokemon, and didn't have a face kind of like a man, it wouldn't work.
And the way, but the way it's written, it's like, I know old stories are like this. It just doesn't make, actually, you're not going back. Boop. Now you forgot. It's still creepy. Also, it's also written as she wakes up, then there's a baby.
Yeah, that's
so
a part of
it. It's written as if he forced herself upon her.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is giving that. Yeah, I'd have to read it again. Because to me, it's also like their love just like made a baby.
Nope.
You know, like because gods don't have to do that. to reproduce. Yeah,
like there's no love. Conception type shit.
Yeah, like just kind of like us being near each other. That's how I took it, but perhaps that is because that's how I wanted it to be. Where I'm just like, I love made a baby. Not that.
Oh my gosh.
Objection, Edgeworth.
Oh my goodness. My only thing is, like, my only main issue, one was that it makes it sound similar to, like, she wakes up and just magically there's a baby, so it might be some weird implications behind that. Coupled with the fact that Pokemon is not geared towards people our age.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's geared towards children. Yeah.
It's a children's... Why are you putting a story about that? If it was like a... If they made Pokemon like Persona 5, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, Persona 5 got a big penis monster. So...
Huh? What do you mean?
I mean exactly what he means.
So Persona is a lot about, like, the evil of humans.
Penises are evil. You're so right.
I mean... I'll send it to you guys.
Please do. I feel like sometimes people write these stories because they just want like some lore to exist. Kind of like in the same way that like some Pokemon lore is super sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the one? There's like a little coral reef Pokemon that she's typically pink and she looks like she has like two like antenna, but depending on where she is, when coral dies, it turns into like a ghost type. Let me see this thing. What is that on a chariot?
Taylor's,
what is that?
Taylor's going to have to put up a picture on screen.
Oh my God.
It's Persona, baby.
Oh my God.
See.
Oh my God.
Good game.
See, I like monsters, but this is a no. This one's a no. This is too. They said we're not even gonna hide it.
Not even close.
You don't.
I hate its mouth. Why is it veiny?
In Persona 5, you fight him in the dungeon of the coach who's sexually abusing his students. So.
Oh my God.
Oh God, bro. Dick on a chariot is fucking crazy.
It's on a chariot is the craziest thing. As if it deserves.
So that story would make more
sense.
Is
there a vagina monster?
In Persona. No, there's a lot of women, though. So, I guess they had to balance it out.
Makers
somehow.
Of Persona, I'm looking at you. I'm looking right into the camera. Make a vagina monster. What makes you so scared? You have a penis on a chariot.
Maybe there is one, and I just...
I'm sure there's one about titties. There's a titty monster. I know it to be true. I know it in my heart.
Like, but that's what I mean, though. If it was... I'll say, having the instance where Pokemon lore is very, like, sad and kind of messed up. Like, if... I don't know if this is a copypasta or, like, just a fan-made theory or it's real. Like, Cubone's backstory. Like why he wears the bones on his head.
Yeah, that's canon. Same thing with like the Clefairy is it Haunter? Where
Drifloon.
No, there's like a Clefairy. If they don't, it's something. Now I have to look it up.
Drifloon is the balloon that tries to take children, but it's as light as a balloon, so it can't pull children.
That's insane. Terrifying, but that does sound kind of like an actual monster in Japanese lore.
Yeah, probably.
That it looks like a balloon and it plays the flute and it guides lost children's souls. So maybe they just tried to make like a spooky version of that. But yeah, so maybe they were just trying to like throw their lore in a different direction.
Yes, I don't think Game Freak is full of deviants, you know. I do think they were trying to like push the envelope a little, and then Nintendo was like, no.
I mean, AO3 and Wattpad readers, yes, but
you just
probably not.
You just
sexual deviants.
You just 360 no scoped Kayla.
Never for Pokemon though. Any, like, throw me in there for Five Nights at Freddy's. I'm on AO3 going, all right, let's look up some sun and moon.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh. Sun, moon, you, POV, me. Sorry. Yeah.
Did you see the other leaks about, like, the actual creation of the Pokemon universe?
I did not see that.
It's the tweet says, oh, the Giga leak probably isn't going to be anything too major outside some past stuff with new games. And then they go, oh, that's the theology part. That's the actual Pokemon creation myth that's been peddled around. Let me read it. In the beginning, there was a swell of chaos. Everything slowly mixed together and everything was unclear. Okay, so that's just like very basic like creation theory.
The there. Creation soup. Bang.
Yeah. One day, a large egg appeared in the center. The egg continued to sway there. When the swell stopped, the egg spilled out and egg spilled out and broke. The absolute god Aus, AUS, is that how you spell it?
Oos, oos.
The scattered pieces of shell transformed into giants and attacked the newly born Aus one after another. However, Aus continued to grow rapidly and continued to defeat the giants. A fierce battle ensued, but finally Aus defeated all the giants. Wounded, Aus decided to create an alter ego. As the left and right sides of Aus's body looked different, he decided to create two alter egos. He gathered the bodies of the giants he had defeated and poured his own blood into them. When the alter ego modeled after his left side was born, the area was filled with light. Aus named it Ea, the god of light. When one who resembled the right side was born, time began to flow. Aus named him Ea, the god of time.
All right, so Pokemon Sun and Moon. Got it.
Interesting. I always knew the god Pokemon was Arceus.
Because judging by this, I'm assuming there's also a god named Ark. Ark, Ea, Aus, and Arceus, or something like that. That's what it says.
Interesting.
It's like somebody speculating in the comments.
Hmm.
I'm not too intriguing. Big on it. But like yeah. Pokemon lore, I rarely play the games.
Hot take: so like, yeah. I think the games suck.
Which ones?
Wow, I feel like a lot of people would jump you for saying that.
It's the same. Look, I played Red and Blue, I played Leaf Green. They're all the same. It's baby's first RPG. It's people who are too afraid to play Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, Persona. Get put some hair in your fucking chest.
Oh my god.
Don't get me wrong. I like the designs. I like the designs. They're all cute. Even the little clef key, the one that's a keychain. It's funny. It's funny little Pokemon monster. Play a real game.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's getting clipped.
He felt that in his bones.
That's the clip that blows up. Watch.
I hope. Good.
Just pure hate. Just pure unadulterated hate.
Do I not like the game because I don't want to memorize types and weaknesses and shit? Yes, but still.
I mean, you still do that with other turn-based games, technically.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, this is just someone's special flavor of like.
And that flavor is dirty pickle.
Oh my god.
Dirty pickle.
That's insane.
I mean, I don't like pickles. That's why I picked it.
Oh, my Jesus Christ.
I just... For me, I used to love collecting the cards because I just like the art. My brother was obsessed with like actually playing the game. But I don't know. I feel like there are plenty of people who find the joy in it.
And I hate them for that.
And you what?
And I hate them for that.
Oh, my God.
He's like, if you're not suffering and if there isn't major lore to be had, what are you even doing with your time?
I mean, I have a box of Pokemon cards. I like the art. Make a fun game, damn it. They're all the same. And oh my god, actually, they're getting worse. Dude, the last game looked and ran like shit. Oh my god. And then they made like the open world one. I never played Arceus. I'm not talking about Arceus. I'm talking about the mainline, two versions every year Pokemon games. They suck.
Why do they do that though? That is a good question.
Because
like, why is it always Red and Blue, Sun and Moon?
Break money. It's the highest grossing media franchise in the world. They don't have to change anything. Everyone's going to give them money all the time.
He's not wrong.
You're not wrong.
we recognize what's happening. However, I do love a little cutie little thing. Like every single year, I don't play them, but like the last one that came out, they had this little crocodile looking one. He's red. Yes. And you know what? I have heard of him. Fuecoco, that's right. Like, I mean, I hated his third evolution. I'm not, they got a little lazy with the design. However, every year when a new one comes out, I'm going to look at it and I'm going to say, like, I would pick this one if I were to play the game, even Correct. Though I'm not going to play the game.
Correct.
And that's how they get you.
That's how they get you, huh?
That's how they get you. I mean, for me, at the end of the day, I've only ever played Pokemon Go and Let's Go Eevee. So I can't do squat.
Tangent. Why don't you have his energy for Disney? This
is insane. Who? Because, him? Because
me. Yes. Yes.
Because there's no hate there. There's only love.
Because they at least the things that I consume, are good products.
All right. Fair enough.
It's worth spending that money for, it's worth spending $70 for a Kingdom Hearts game. Because a Kingdom Hearts game is better than Pokemon.
What about that new game that came out where you basically create a world with other Disney characters and they just give you like little tasks and quests? I wish I remembered the name.
My sister played it. Dreamlight Valley.
That one. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it's an Animal Crossing clone. And my sister liked it. My sister thought it was fun.
Okay. Because I know some people that play it and they have a good time. So I wanted to know if you hated it as much.
No. I mean, people said it was good. It got good reviews.
He's at peace.
The thing is, my biggest thing is Nintendo knows better. Nintendo knows better. They make good games. They know better.
I mean, so I guess if you want to make the argument about the same game thing, I think I can see what you're trying to talk about. Because if you compare like Animal Crossing and all the Pokemon games together, like you get a new Animal Crossing, you already know exactly what you're getting because that's just the theme that Animal Crossing has cultivated. It's going to be this roughly the same game every single time.
But there's only 5 of them.
Yes.
Right.
There's 20 billion Pokemon.
And the ones that they have differentiated on the actual hardware gameplay style, some of them have actually been very successful. One of my favorite games of all time growing up was Pokemon Stadium. It's a different type of Pokemon game. They have a Pokemon League of Legends clone that people genuinely like. Yeah.
Yeah.
They like have like little like teams and they like fight together and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They lane Unite. And have like specials and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. I'd be behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's
fun.
He's
talking about he's like just the main just one. The just main, when just it comes the mainline out.
Pokemon games.
Got it.
The mainline games. I do really like. I don't understand. I never understood the appeal of having like the two game model. I guess it's because I haven't played them that much. Like I played like, what was the one that had Pikachu on the cover? Like the Game Boy cartridge was like gold,
yellow.
What was that one? Pokemon Yellow. I played Pokemon Yellow when I was a kid, but I didn't even realize there was another game. That was the same game, but just a different color.
I mean, I guess just because you can get different... Do you even get different things?
So when it first came out, a big selling point of the two games was the Game Boy Link cable.
Mm.
And there were some Pokemon you can get in one game, and some Pokemon you could get in the other, and then a bunch more Pokemon that are just in both. But they really tried to sell, like, if you have the Link cable, you can link up with one of your friends and trade Pokemon like that. And so that was like the big thing. I think the reason they do it now is just tradition and, you know, selling just money again, because there's no really, you can't really trade like you used to before.
Did not think this is where we were going today.
Neither did I. But, you know, fucking what I was going to say, you know, the last one that came out was Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. That's where Fuecoco is from. And I was excited because the country that you're playing in is based off of like Spain.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's fun. And then it looked like doo-doo dog ass. It looked like doo-doo feces. And it's everyone said, you know what? This game's not that good. Honestly, this game kind of sucks. And it's the highest selling Pokemon game to ever release. Make it
make sense. That's
insane. Make it make sense.
That's actually insane.
What I do love to see whenever any new Pokemon game comes out, there's this guy on Instagram. I don't know if he's on TikTok. He probably is. But he has this like this roulette reel. And he basically is like creating custom Pokemon for you. That's his whole thing. And he'll take like different types of Pokemon, especially with like the new ones that come out. And then he kind of like reflavors them to like fit a certain aesthetic. Or sometimes he'll rebrand ones that already exist. So like for Fuecoco, his last form just looks like a gator, right? With a skull on his head. But he reflavored it to look like a Mayan or an Aztec like dragon god. And it's really cool just to see like the art that comes out of it. So that's what always makes me excited. Or like if there's ever like any little lore tidbits about like any of the originals that come out years later, like that's always a good time. But I feel like I'm so removed from the conversation because I only ever speak to people that like Pokemon, and then I'm kind of like looped in it that way, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's cute. Or like if they send me like, oh, what Pokemon are you quiz? I'm like,
yeah,
I'll play.
That's cute.
But you know, it's never like I'm never there to buy the games.
I don't dislike Pokemon, but it's just it's shit like this. I just read this. Scarlet and Violet received mixed reviews from critics, becoming the lowest rated mainline game in the series. The game sold 10 million copies in its first 3 days, and by June 2024, 25.29 million copies.
Right.
What? It blows my mind. Dude.
Because the fans are going to fan, and they're going to buy.
The fans are the ones that are saying, yo, these games suck. Don't buy them.
But the thing is, at the end of the day,
the games suck is because you keep giving Nintendo money so they don't think they have to fix anything.
It's the Call of Duty and 2K conundrum.
Correct.
Essentially.
Dude, I heard something about 2K, and now we're getting it. Now, you see, I could just talk about the game industry every episode. I saw something that was like, you can't play my player unless you spend X amount of V-Bucks. Or V-Bucks, what are they called?
VC.
VC. Yeah. To make your my player better. So not only are you playing, it's now $70 because that's what a mainline AAA title costs. $70, you're spending another $100 to make your... And people do it. And people do it.
Yeah. That's why I'm not. That's why I don't have 2K this year. I'm not doing that shit.
I haven't bought a sports game. The show 16. That is the last. It's been 8 years. You cannot get me. And I love the show. I love baseball. I love baseball. You cannot force me to get another show game. You can't.
Oh my gosh. I did not think this was going to go today at all.
No. And the thing is, as someone who is so far removed from the gaming industry in general, it's so funny to hear you guys. Because, I mean, you guys play these games often, and for a while they had your attention. But it's always the conversation of when a company gets something and they realize that people like it, they run that bit to the ground until it's so far removed from the original joy that you felt that you're like, am I just buying this because it reminds me of a better time? Or am I buying it because it's good? And a lot of the time, you're buying it because you're like, I just want to feel something, like give. But you can't do that. You can't do that because then you're letting them believe, just like Andre said, that everything is fine and they can keep treating it like they're treating it.
And you know what the worst problem is? I'm part of the problem.
Mira eso.
Fortnite.
Oh yeah.
Is now, it? I thought you said that was like a perfect game.
Granted, no, it's not a perfect game.
Okay.
Granted, I haven't spent $100 on Fortnite, but the fact that I've spent like even $20, it's a free game.
Mm-hmm.
What am I spending money on it for? Because I want to be Jack Sparrow. Yay.
Listen, I've always been the type of person where if there could be add-ons in a game to like have a redesign, I am tempted, and most of the time I fall for it.
I love
a new skin. I love a new color. Like, damn, like, I mean, obviously you guys did not play this as children, but when I was a kid and they used to have the Barbie nail salon on CD-ROM, if they made that today and you had to pay for different nail polishes, I would have had my mama's credit card ready. I've been like, I want all the prints and I want this, boop, boop, boop. So I get it. And obviously companies are not dumb. Any game now, or even like an app on your phone, it's like, has in-app purchases. And I do it. I have a game called Monster Girl Maker. You're just making characters. Did I buy the extra pack so I could have extra monster accessories? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I do it every time there's an update. There's me $1.
And I do it again.
And I do it again.
Oh my gosh, that's insane. I guess it's just, for me, it's always like, I don't know, I could probably do without it a lot of the time. I will
You're so
say.
Chill. What's that like?
You're so cool.
I think what I did it one time, where I did like a microtransaction one time, and I felt awful afterwards. What game was it? It was Overwatch.
Man.
And I remember playing it, and I think I can't remember, because remember I was like a really good Zenyatta player at the time?
Yes.
Mm.
And they had this one skin that I couldn't get in any of the loot crates, because you used to be able to get loot crates pretty frequently if you just regularly played the game, if you like leveled up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I tried so hard to get the Zenyatta. I don't remember which one it was. It's the skin that I like used for the rest of my time playing.
Sure.
But I think I bought the skin, or like I bought something that got me the skin, and I remember it coming out of the loot box, and I go, yeah, this is not it. Like, it's not.
And see, if I see one of those skins and I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be so hard for me to win it, and then I'm never going to have it, and then it's going to be gone because it could be like a special like Christmas skin or like a Valentine's Day one. Those always get me. Mm-hmm. If I miss out on the opportunity, I want to jump out of my own skin. I try to be like, so
it's right there.
It's really good that of the three of us, you don't have a mental illness and you can keep us from spending all our money on stupid crap.
I think I've just seen so many like horror stories and like funny anecdotes about games in general having microtransactions that I was like, you know what? I'm okay. Like, I watched, what video was it? It was Gigguk's video on Fate Go.
Oh, God.
Where he's like, I spent over, I think, I can't remember, it was a crazy amount of money. He was like, I spent X amount of dollars playing Fate Go for like a month or something like that, trying to get, like, just understanding the culture behind whaling and paying for microtransactions and like the culture behind gacha games.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And so he basically, like, for like a month, played a gacha game, like Fate Go, for like a week straight. Mm-hmm. And was kind of got into the cycle and rotation of paying for loot crates, paying for skins, paying for packs, because gacha games you get like 0.0005% chance on every pack you get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I watched videos like that, and I also saw like funny stuff on other games with microtransactions in it, and I was like, you know what? I'm better than that. It's like, I can do without it.
Kayla, when you start streaming, you, Taylor and I have to make sure to keep you away from Genshin Impact and Honkai Star Rail.
Oh my God.
Because.
Oh, I mean, I've seen the art for Genshin Impact. I mean, I follow a lot of cosplayers who do cosplay for that game. Yeah, no, that'll kill me. Drew has a game on his phone that has like a loot crate that comes out, you know, like every week. It's like, oh, you can try to get a new skin or a new character. And I won't download the game. But he'll be like, oh, do you want to be the one to like press the button like for luck? And I'm like, ooh, and I lock in like ADHD focus. And I'm just like, I believe in the heart of the cards and I'm going to press this and you're going to get what you want. Have I ever? No. But is it still fun? And, it, you know, there's the shiny little thing and all the little stuff pops up. That's unfortunately they market it towards my people.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I know.
I can't escape.
I know I got angry earlier. If it makes you happy and you're not harming anyone, whatever. Who cares? But you're harming me. Just think about that.
When we you play all Pokemon have our games. When you play Pokemon games, you got to look at this face right here. This is who you're hurting.
Just zoom in on Andre's face. Look who you disappointed. Just him with the SpongeBob like.
Oh my. Oh my god, bro. That's ridiculous. I mean, yeah. Okay, but I wanted to get into this third topic, but I don't know if it's if I could keep this as spoiler-free as possible because it talks about Jujutsu Kaisen, the manga specifically.
I'm not caught up, so I'm only caught up on the anime.
That's my thing. It's just like
I understand that not a lot of people liked the ending. I think yes. Kayla and I were even getting some of that before because Sam, wherever he was at, he was already disappointed. It hadn't ended yet.
Yeah.
But I still think, and I'll let you introduce it, Taylor. I still think this is very stupid.
Yeah. So there's an account on Twitter called Jujutsu No Kaisen where... Right, the eye roll is very applicable here. Where this person is like either crowdfunding or just like hyping up a fan-made project to continue the manga to quote-unquote give fans the ending they deserve after chapter 263. So if you're a listener and you know what chapter I'm talking about, it's after a very major death in the series, and from they're trying to start from that point on and to continue the story to give fans a good ending. Now, look, I understand, and even as somebody that did read the manga and has finished Jujutsu Kaisen, I understand that it was not well received in terms of the ending. And I think that announcing that there were 5 chapters left out of nowhere was kind of what did it, to be honest. I think that's what kind of struck people as like odd and like kind of ramped up for this disappointing ending where we're thinking the story has a lot left to offer us, especially where we are with them trying to defeat the main villain that is Sukuna. That's not really a spoiler. It's just Sukuna's the main villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're trying to defeat Sukuna, okay? And then in the middle of this battle where all this stuff's happening, all of a sudden Gege goes, yeah, I'm ending it in 5 chapters. There are a plethora of missed opportunities and some not plot holes, but unanswered questions and some plot points that were brought up but never... followed through with that were kind of just like empty, like hanging some loose threads that didn't really mean much in the grand scheme of the story, but at the time of them being presented were supposed to be seen as very big important events. So I could see where people would be upset with this ending.
Sure.
However, there is a Twitter user I cannot remember their name, but I remember them tweeting a long time ago that people that if you ever stop and think to yourself that you could write better than your favorite mangaka, you are dead wrong.
Yeah. That is going to be exactly my point. I'll let you finish, but then I have thoughts.
I mean, that's basically my biggest thing. Like if you want to
make a fan fiction that kind of ends the story how you want it, cool. Nobody's mad at you for that. But trying to parade around your story as if you're going to write the better ending that Gege couldn't write is just a level of hubris that I don't think I'd ever want to get to in my entire life.
Yeah. I think people need to approach any type of artist with a level of empathy, because at the end of the day, these are characters that have been running around in their head for who knows how long, right? Like, you see it with like Oda, where he came out with that short that had a character who like looked like Luffy but acted like Zoro. Like, they're like, these characters kind of like develop and live in their heads forever, and then once they finally get their big break and they're writing a manga and someone goes, oh my gosh, this is amazing, let's pick it up, let's turn it into an anime, you are now rushing that story in their heads. The characters aren't sitting and giving them like the answers as it would have been if they had time to be slowed. Not to say that the story might have changed if Gigi decided like, no, this is how I always kind of like envisioned it to be. But it is crazy to me, like, even when I hear people say about art, right? Like, they're like, oh, I could make that art piece better, or I could do this better than you. It's like, you could definitely make it different, and you could definitely appeal to like a wider audience if you go with blah, blah answer, or if you go down that route. But this is how they stop. This is how the artist saw the story end. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of have to honor that sometimes. Like, Gigi blew up so fast for JJK. Like, I feel like, it was just starting as a manga and then it blew up. And for good reason. It's so fun and it's so beautiful. There are things I don't agree with that happen because of my own love for specific characters. But yeah, it doesn't mean that I'd be like, well, you know what? I'm going to write my fan fiction and it's better than what you've got. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had a fan fiction if I didn't love what you wrote so well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Point blank period. So I don't know how it ends. I did read up to a certain point in the manga, and then I kind of like sat with it just because it hurt me. So I was just like, I'm just going to wait till it comes out so I can just visually watch it, because it happens to me sometimes. Reading hurts more for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother did tell me that he was, you know, disappointed with the ending. He didn't reveal what happened, but we're still going to support, and whatever Gigi makes next, if he does, I'm probably going to watch it, because I love the kids he makes. Like, they're all so precious, and I put them all in my pocket. So,
yeah. I mean, Zoe, you got any thoughts before I go to another part?
It's just more of what you guys said. I think there's nothing wrong with a fan fiction.
Yeah.
There are some fan fictions that are written well.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do in their spare time. They've been writing for like years. Mm-hmm. But even then, they've never, for the most part, fan fiction writers aren't like, yeah, this is what should have happened, or this is like, I'm doing this because I hate. No, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, I had this idea and maybe I'm a little freaky, so I want to see Freddy Fazbear and Bonnie have do little kisses.
Yeah.
But besides that, it's like, I don't know. Like you said, it's weird for them to be parading. Like the tweet that I sent you earlier, like that, like this person explaining the project, it's the first picture is a meme of this person giving up a sword to like a demon lord, and this person giving up the sword is Gege, and the demon lord is me, whoever's writing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just weird. That's just weird. Yeah. It's like you're building this weird picture in not only everyone else's head, but like your head, kind of. I don't know. It comes off very disrespectful.
As someone who loves reading fan fiction, because it is just another way for someone to express their feelings about a character or about the way something went, I feel like most of the people that I follow or read their stories, they are never saying that their story should have been the way that the story went in the first place. Mm-hmm. They're just saying, wouldn't it be fun? I love a good AU. I love an alternate universe that lets us just like explore what could happen, because I'm always about, you know, multiverse theories. Like, it could happen anywhere all the time.
Yeah.
but no one's ever saying this is how it should go. So I feel like it just makes me sad as a creative to hear someone say, oh, you, author, did this wrong, and don't you worry, I'll make a better one for you. Like, that to me just, like, hurts my feelings for Gigi, you know? He gave us Nanami. Who are we to complain?
Oh, my gosh. And it's like, you wouldn't have the inclination to want to change the ending of something if he didn't write it in the first place.
Correct. Correct.
Like, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me to have that level of hubris to think, oh, yeah, I could write a better story. And, like, look, don't get me wrong. I said this in, I think, episode 51 or 52. That it is very, 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 very hard to end a very popular story.
Yes.
Like, I don't care what show it is. There are a very finite number of shows that have endings that everyone can, like, as a general consensus, thinks is a good ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, as far.
Oh, go, no, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'll say, for one, I think. Even, like, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood's ending, like, it's very small percentage, but there's some people like, there's something I wish did happen differently. It's always going to be those people. Like, there's never going to be, it's rare that you're going to get an ending that everybody genuinely is like, yeah, that's a great ending.
You can't make everybody happy. I was going to say the example of an older one with Death Note. Yeah. When Death Note first ended, people were throwing their Death Note merch out windows. They were rioting in the streets. They did not like what happened with L. They did not like what happened with Light. They didn't like them kids. But that was his story.
Yeah.
Or her. I actually forgot who the author of Death Note was, but it doesn't matter. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, at the end of the day, you're not going to make everyone happy. And because we all have the skills to, like, write whatever we want and make up other worlds, like, just do that and share it with people.
Yeah.
Just don't say that they work so hard. They're so tired.
Yeah. And you got to think about the health of those mangaka. Like, I always keep that into account too when it comes to how a story's ending. Like, one of the reasons why I love the fact that Kubo is able to continue and add stuff into the Bleach story is because when he was writing the ending of the manga, he was going through health problems and Shonen Jump was trying to rush an ending.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
he didn't get the full chance to, like, put everything he wanted into that final arc. So now I'm like, you got to keep that into account, have some empathy. And it's, you know, same thing with, like, Togashi. Togashi basically told us what the ending of Hunter x Hunter was going to be before he started writing chapters recently. And because he's like, my back hurts, I literally can't even take a shit. Like, that's insane. Like, it's like... Like, just being honest. Like, you gotta keep, like, certain factors into account when it comes to certain
or how many of them, like, ending. Yeah, how many of them get, like, sick, or and people get mad at them for that. Like, the writer of, I was just looking, I'm like, oh, do I have all of them? I have most of them. Of the D. Gray Man series.
Yes. She got, I love that,
cancer.
Story.
And yes. like she was, people were still like, oh, but she should give it to somebody else to finish. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Right.
Let her rest, please. And if she doesn't finish it, guess what? We got most of a good story.
That's right, with Berserk, when Miura dying.
Exactly. Like, sometimes, you know, sometimes the artist can pass the torch to somebody else, but sometimes they just, it ends with them.
Yeah.
And there's something beautiful about that too, right? Because, like, they are their characters, you know? They carry that. I'll get emotional. Send me this tweet. I don't even have a Twitter. I'll talk to him.
Let me it's what did he say? Oh yeah, this is the tweet. It's a picture after the meme he posted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great news for fans of Jujutsu Kaisen manga. Since not everyone liked the original ending, we decided to draw a new ending starting from chapter 236. My fault. 236, not 263.
Mm.
From 236 that contains exciting and wonderful things. And we will focus on writing the characters perfectly and drawing with high quality. All you have to do is follow us on official websites. It's like, bro,
the wording is so annoying.
The wording is crazy. The wording is so pointed. Like, it's so, like, and I'm sure that some of those artists are phenomenal. I'm sure that they can draw the characters that they're supposed to be, and I'm sure that some of these writers are phenomenal. but why are you talking like that? That's so hurtful.
It genuinely sounds like you, I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. And the thing is, you look at this dude's account and like he's drawing, like, you know, he's like showing us like sketches of Sukuna and, mm-hmm. and Gojo and Yuji. And like, honestly, the dude's artwork looks pretty good for like just mm-hmm. regular still drawings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Put that energy into something else, my nigga. Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Yeah, like use this creative energy to like maybe uplift someone instead of putting yeah. down someone.
Yeah. Or be so inspired and like tell you like, hey, you did good. Now I want to take this and you have inspired me to draw. You've inspired me to create.
Yeah.
I'm going to make something now that like honors you or honors your story, or even if it had been like, hey, Kiki, did you think of it going this way?
Yeah.
This happens.
Or maybe like you said, a side story like, or something.
Yeah. Like yeah. you said, an alternate universe.
Yes.
Even if it's the same idea where it's like, hey, I'm changing the ending, but they worded it differently where it's like, hey, I'm making this alternate universe fanfic.
Yeah.
That's way different than I'm trying to write the characters perfectly.
Yeah. That's just a crazy thing to say.
It's just like, I mean, you draw, your artwork looks good. How about, you know what I'm saying? You take the story of Jujutsu Kaisen and go, you know what? I'm going to write my own manga that pulls from influences of Jujutsu Kaisen and give it out to the world and see how it tracks. Because I think that would be more, they'd get more of a following. And grow more organically that way.
Yeah. Also, you know heaven forbid anyone ever talks crap about this pet project, basically. What is that going to do to him? You know what I mean? Like, I hope he doesn't. Yeah. I hope he never feels the sting of when someone critiques your work. Mm. I remember in art school. Oh, my God. I remember when anyone critiqued my work. Like, I would take it because obviously it's to build me into being a better artist. But like, sometimes like your blood, sweat and tears are quite literally on a project. And when someone says something about it, you're like, I have to go sit and cry about this because even though I accept what you've said and I could have done a better job, it still hurts.
Yeah.
So I hope I actually hope that he doesn't feel that sting. And I hope that he just realizes on his own, maybe after drawing a couple panels and his hands cramp, that he goes, oh, wait, no, this kind of hurts a little bit.
Mm. And part of me, that point, yes, makes sense. Part of me, though, feels like this dude is banking on hate reads.
Oh, you think so?
Like, I think he's banking on people being upset that he's doing this, to where people are going to actively rake those like readership numbers up.
Yeah. Just that is like, true.
75% of them are just hate reads and people shitting on him and people making videos about it on YouTube and people making TikToks about it. And he ends up getting either more funding or just getting more traction on making it, and so he just keeps on making chapters. I think that's honestly just how anime Twitter works in a nutshell.
That's how a lot of things work nowadays. Like, I don't know if you guys ever saw like this trend on TikTok. It's gonna be super. It's an ASMR trend, and there's this like weird skull puppet, and he's mixing like a bowl of wood soup. Okay, so here's the thing. So the person who created the account had this little skull character, got decent amount of views. They introduced a wife for this little skull character, mm-hmm. got a little more views because like, oh, how cute. You know, they like make like little like kissing sounds at each other on occasion. It's very like Disney-esque. When it ramped up was because the owner of the account made two accounts and both characters started cheating on each other. And depending on your algorithm, your live would actually have the elf girl puppet cheating on her skull husband or the skull husband cheating on her. And people, they never saw more people in their lives than that like month span. That's how they brought people. And people in the lives would go, you're cheating on elf wife or you're cheating on skull husband. And people were eating it up, and it's just someone stirring wood soup because people love to hate. So you know what? I'm actually I'm actually on the train that this person has done it on purpose, and he just wants hate comments to skyrocket so he can make money.
Oh my god.
Guys, I don't know the name of the wood soup person, but you'll find them. It's a little skull puppet, like a little reaper and a little elf. And sometimes, in some occasions, they'd have a child, and the child would be in a cage. I mean, it got me to pay attention.
There's lore.
There is right. lore.
I saw him Why once or twice.
Lore? Yeah.
But the like, fuck? Why is that a lore? It doesn't matter. Oh my god, dude. Yeah. All right. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Never know what you find on TikTok, man. I swear to God, that's insane.
No, internet period.
Yeah, true. True, true, true. But yeah, man, you know, if you like a story, if you like a story and it's influential, you know, it didn't end the way you wanted to, you know what I'm saying? That's just how it happens. You don't, you could write a fanfic that,
yeah,
you know, has something else to it, but to try to parade it around as,
yeah,
like the work that Gege couldn't do is insane.
I realize you keep saying Gege and I keep going Gigi. I don't know how it's pronounced, but I just wanted to know. I want him to know. I love you and you're doing great. You got this baby boy, and whatever you make in the future, I'll watch it too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Make
for
a sideshow sure. just about Nanami, please and thank you.
Like a side just, story?
Please. I just want him, alternate universe, to own a bakery and have a beautiful little baker wife. That's all I want. See,
there's your fan picture right there.
That's just Ludwig.
A streamer.
Very famous white pretty boy streamer. Oh. His girlfriend, also a streamer, very successful, but she's a baker.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
But see, oh, like, goodness. I think the moral of the story is we're just going to keep loving and supporting our artists.
Please. Please.
But we're not going to support people making two of the same thing in the same game if it's Pokemon.
Facts.
Love, hate, a lot of love, hate.
Make a better game, damn it.
We just came from like, oh my gosh, we love and support. It's like, but I hate you.
A better creature capture persona.
Oh my gosh.
Not with the penis chariot.
Facts.
You can't catch him. Or maybe you can. Maybe you can, and I just haven't.
Could you imagine that being a fucking, like, can you imagine Persona 4? They shoot themselves in the head and a fucking dick chariot comes out? That's insane.
I mean, it's...
I'm going to have to play this game.
Yes!
Oh my god.
They're what so persona fun. Is it? Which one has the dick chariot?
Yes.
All of them?
Let's call it a Dariot.
He's I'm almost positive it's in all of them.
He's in all of them?
But the one
is he different colors?
The one that's like story important is 5.
Okay.
Children pay no mind to the Dick Chariot before, but it's in the fifth game it's right
it's not
there.
A children's game. Let me
it's
be
not
clear.
A children's game at all.
Let me be clear.
It is not a children's game.
The Persona 3 is about death. Persona 5, the first dungeon, is about, again, the PE coach is sexually harassing the girls and physically abusing the boys. It is not
horrible.
It is not a children's game.
And this game is fun, you say?
Very.
It is. Mm. And the soundtrack is awesome.
Soundtrack's okay. awesome. And then on the side, you can romance people.
Oh, I mean, I'm in it for that. I just want to romance everybody.
Oh, I know we're kind of winding down this episode, but I do want to point out, we made a mention of the fact that you can't romance people in Metaphor Refantasio. In the new episode. And I've made a clip about it, and it's very, very funny. Because in Persona 5, you could literally romance your teacher as a minor.
Yes.
Oh.
And it's like, and then you have situations like that, but then you... one of the dungeons or bosses you fight is that teacher, and it's
right.
All right, man.
Well, it's not that teacher, it's a different teacher.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
but it's still it's bad. It doesn't look good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah,
wow.
I think
what a journey. What a journey today has been. We've learned so much.
Yeah. Oh god. I don't even know the title of this episode. That's the thing. I don't even know what this is gonna
make
be.
Make better games, Game Freak.
Oh my gosh. No, but, I'm going to make it make a wild clickbaity. Pokemon is trash? Question mark! Exclamation point.
Game, huh?
Game. it's Gigi versus Game.
Oh my goodness. I'll figure something out. But yeah, that's pretty much all we have today. Yeah, y'all got anything else before we sign off, or we're good?
I have nothing left in the tank.
I don't think
so.
It's
been a long day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so for Taylor, aka Nostalgia, as told by Zoe, K likes peppers. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.